Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and this is a not safe for work podcast. We here at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast are teachers who love our jobs, and because of that, we wish to remain anonymous so we can keep our jobs. We also want to give a special thank you to any Patreon donors who have joined us. That's right, Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is now available via Patreon. If you would like to help us and contribute and also get access to some lost episodes, as well as future upcoming content, you can join us on Teacher Needs a Drink Patreon. Also, on Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast on the Patreon, you get access to pins, buttons, bottle openers, and lots more coming in the future. So if we can get 100 donors to join us on the Patreon, we'll record a special episode where all of our hosts force me, Elvis, to take the Pottermore housing quiz and watch me react to all these questions. Anyway, Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is sponsored by Lud Lamb Dramatics Educational Theater Posters. If you need theater posters for your classroom or on the back of your Zoom feed, you can go to ludlamdramatics.com. They have posters about parts of stage, Elizabethan theater, all kinds of stuff. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook, or go to our website, Teacher Needs Drink Podcast, and hit us through the contact feed. Anyway, please subscribe, follow, leave a review if you can, and always find one person, tell them about us, and that's the easiest way to help spread the word. This is an interesting podcast. This is the first one where we've completely all, I don't want to say phoned it in because we didn't phone it in, but we used an online software so we could practice safe social distancing during this coronavirus outbreak. So the sound is a little interesting at times, but I think we pulled it through, and I think it's a pretty good episode, and we definitely talk from our heart, which is important. Anyway, enjoy episode number 27. Welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and today we are all not Skyping in. We're all, what do you call it, virtually hubbing together?
Sure.
We're a little sound-wise all over the place, but we want to be able to meet while being respectful and maintaining social distance. But I'm happy to be, you know, in bed without pants with these three beautiful lady teachers. And so this is going to be an exciting podcast. Today with me, I have Miss Sparkles. Hello, Miss Sparkles.
Hello from my living room.
Next to me? You're not next to me, though, this time. That's so weird. I have Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Hey, Elvis.
Hey. And then, of course, I'm holding it together. And to my leftish, not really at all, I have Miss Rosie Rose.
Hello, everyone.
So here we are. If we're still working, if you're still working out there, you're working online. In our free time, we've been talking about all the challenges that come with it. Have you guys had any, like, this isn't so bad moments with the online teaching?
I was going to say mostly just getting to teach in pajamas is pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet. I've really enjoyed, I've been doing a lot of collaboration with a lot of people online. So that's been kind of fun. And like, there's definitely a lot of stuff that you can do digitally, which was kind of a point of stress for me. One thing for us in my district though, is right now, at least we've been told not to teach any new content. We're only supposed to be reviewing for the next couple of weeks while the district kind of works out the technology hiccups and makes sure that everybody has internet and a device and all of that. So we're taking it slowly, which I think is good because some of my fellow teachers are technologically illiterate.
Well, I have an article I'd like to read to get started. This is from the Reddit, and it's titled To the Boomer Teachers by Zucchini Miss. It says, I love you. You will get through this. It will be okay. Now that I've said that in my most calming voice, I now beg you to please understand that we younger teachers aren't just magically switching over to online teaching either. On top of switching our classes over, some of us have just now been giving a new class of students. You guys, that we must now prepare lessons for. Lessons about how to do things that have been around for a decade or so. But that's okay. You had your reasons, and being offline was fine until this situation hit. But please, God Almighty, do not be more stubborn than my sophomores. I love you and respect you, but I will use my teacher voice if you complain through my Google Classroom lessons one more time. you know, the tool that many of you have turned your nose up at for the last 5 years that I'm trying to teach it to you. But again, it's okay. Every day is a new day. No worries about how you were. Let's just use this as an opportunity to learn and grow. It's all about having grit and a growth mindset. You can't figure out Google Classroom yet. Sincerely, again with love, your very overwhelmed millennial colleague.
Amen to that. Amen. I don't know how many, so like, I've been in two districts now where they rolled out like hardcore technology. The previous district I was in, I think they did it the best. They spent a full year teaching us Canvas before we used it with students. Like, they opened it up to the teachers early and were like, just play with it. We're going to teach you how to use it. You don't even have to show the kids it exists yet. Just figure it out. And even with them, who I thought rolled it out so appropriately, they got so much fucking pushback about it. I was like, why is everybody mad that we have a giant iPad and we're getting all this time to train? It's like what teachers always ask for, right? Like, I need more time to learn this. I need more time to learn this. Right. And then we got the time to learn it and nobody fucking did anything. I was like the only person in the building who was using it. And so everybody kept coming to me like, hey, how do I do this really simple thing? And I was like, click this button. Did you not pay attention 4 months ago when we got trained on this 8 times? No, that sounds like a personal problem.
Okay, so story time. I'm probably the youngest person in my job. I'm the youngest person, at least on my campus. And we had this whole new like rolling out of software programming that we had to use. I literally painstakingly for 6 hours one day created a step-by-step PowerPoint presentation with photos and things circled and like the easiest language possible to make it for all of the older people who couldn't figure out how to work the software. But then none of them would watch the PowerPoint. They just kept emailing me with questions. And I was like, I literally sat here and wrote this PowerPoint. I mean, I sent it to my 80-year-old grandmother to see if she could follow it, because if she could follow it, anybody could follow it. And she said she could. But then they're like, I don't want to watch that PowerPoint. I was like, then I'm not going to answer your question.
Teachers are the worst students. We are the worst.
Yes.
Students. Oh, I'm a horrible student. There's no excuses or doubt. I'm a horrible, and I'll never go back to grad school because of that.
Oh, I love grad school, but I hate like faculty meetings. Like, we have a thing every month where we all meet in the library and we learn something. Well, we did diversity, which was hilarious because diversity was very obviously geared toward all the white people. So I was like awkwardly there, like, so I'm not unconsciously biased against people of color because I am one. Talk is very awkward for me because I feel like all of my white colleagues are staring at me. Or when we do technology ones and it's something that I've already figured out on my own, I know how to do this. I'm not lazy like the person next to me.
And then you stare at them.
I do. And I'm like, I'm sitting in this room because of you, you asshole.
We had a librarian that insisted that we always have our meetings in the library only because she could sit at her computer and play on it during the meetings, because that was her spot. She's like, no. I was like, well, we can always go to the gym. There's like a kind of a lounge area we could all fit in. No, they have to be in the library. That's tradition.
I used to have these two coworkers that they were very sweet people. They were lovely people, but they could not shut their mouths during faculty meetings. And we had to sit by teams at faculty meetings. And I had to sit with these women, but they were always talking and they were making little side comments and jokes and having their side conversations. And I'm sitting here like forced to sit next to them. And I'm like, I don't want to be associated with this level of rudeness because y'all need to shut your damn mouths.
That's the most Hufflepuff thing you've ever said.
I mean, it pissed me off and it was embarrassing because I was like, I don't want whoever's speaking or presenting, you know, leading this PD session to think that I'm a rude person also because these two can't shut their yap. The nice thing about having faculty meetings on Zoom is that you can mute people's mics. This is from the Reddits. Username, so many ostriches, yo. Which is a brilliant name. The title is, What is the Stupidest Distance Learning Policy Your School or District is Trying to Enforce? We just found out on Friday afternoon, after telling my students there's no expectation they need to log in every day, just get your assignments done by Friday, that we are expected to take daily attendance, and we have to make some contact with the student to mark them present. I have 180 students. I figure many of you are in the same boat, so let's commiserate. I don't know, that gets into whole questions of, like, one of the things that my district has talked about is that we can't do real-time instruction because we've got lots of households where kids are sharing a device. Uh-huh. And so if you've got three kids and three different teachers who all want them to be online at 9 a.m., you can't really do that if you're all sharing the same iPad.
I know in our house, having three different people trying to watch devices or have TV or laptops all going at the same time, our internet has slowed down because almost the entire neighborhood is at home now. Online, yeah. Getting all their yeah. critical information.
Our district, they put us on WebEx so that we can meet like with each other. And eventually they want the students to be able to schedule meetings with us through WebEx. But they've even said like, there's not necessarily an expectation that we're trying to teach our classes the way we taught them in school because it's impossible. Like, I have to appreciate that my district, hey guys, this is fucking crazy. Do your best.
I'm lying in bed trying to spill my bourbon. All right, now it's time for another edition of Just the Tip.
Just the tip? What?
What the hell is happening?
You guys this is so much harder without eye contact.
I know.
That's what she said.
Rosie, whip it on out.
Okay, here it is. So I've seen a lot of teachers try to replicate exactly what they do in their classrooms during this time, and you can't do that. You can't expect your students to sit for 30, 40 minutes and listen to you teach. That's just not realistic right now. So you need to like split up your lessons into smaller lessons so they can watch them whenever they can, you know? Because you don't know what kind of distractions they have at home. You don't know where they're learning from. So you can't expect the same kind of attention you would expect in a classroom setting.
Videos should be 5 minutes or less. That was our yes. instruction on videos.
And you have to have so much more patience now, which is a lot to ask, I know. But you don't know what your kids are doing, how they're learning, where they're learning. And you don't know if like they're trying to watch their two-year-old sibling while also watch your video.
So I was stressed out as hell the last few days because I've been crunching trying to get all of my videos for my lesson plans and everything plugged in so they could be ready to go out to world, so the classes could be populated today and they have the lesson there waiting for them. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't been sleeping well. So last night I took one of my little chill pills. I forget which one it was. And I took some CBD and I took some HTTP and I was like, okay, I'm just going to relax, took a nice shower and went to bed. I was up for a little while before. At some point in the middle of the night, apparently I went and got a thing of fruit snacks. I don't really remember. I remember getting up. I remember getting the fruit snacks. I think I remember opening it. And then like around 5 a.m, Priscilla was tapping on my face and she was laughing and she said something like, you got those things everywhere. And then she passed back out. And I was like, what? And then, like, I kind of rolled around. I felt, like, this sticky thing on me. And I was like, there's no gum in the bed. None of us chew gum, and no one would eat it. It was like a ball of all the fruit snacks. It just kind of rolled underneath me, and my body heat had just kind of molded them into this little and, like, so I pulled it off of my ribs and, like, took a bite. And I was like, that's been... Anyway.
Why would you... Bite it.
It's good fruit snacks. There's only like three packs left.
Fruit snack.
This is a situation. We're in water world here. I mean, you gotta drink the pee.
No, you don't. We're not there yet.
Unpopular opinion. Some teachers need to get a grip. I try to avoid social media as it is, but when I check it, I swear half of my coworkers sound like their world is falling apart because they can't teach. This isn't a vacation. I was up last night crying, thinking of my students. I would give anything to be back in my room. Will I ever see them again? Get a grip! Volunteer where you can and make good online content and be available if needed. But I swear, Some people seem to have their whole identity wrapped up in their job and have lost their sense of who they are as people. Maybe I'm not a martyr, or maybe I'm not as passionate. End rant. I'm the person she's talking about.
Oh.
That's why I wanted to
share it. I feel like you're all the person she's talking about.
I had a good cry the other day. I had like a moment of like grief because we were in the middle of a show and we got to perform it once and we were literally traveling to our next performance when we got the notice that like, hey, this day of shows has been canceled. So turn around.
It was like,
I was driving.
Oh my God.
Two schools from outside our district pulled out. So we had to cancel. Our district was like, no, you guys can go ahead because it's like tomorrow. And then like nothing after that for a few weeks. Right. So there's this kind of unfinished feeling and this grief of like, mm-hmm. I miss my kids and I miss us creating art together. Mm-hmm. And so I had like a really good, like, grief cry the other day because I was thinking about it and, you know, like I didn't get to take pictures of the show to put in my portfolio, just like all sorts of stuff. And then one of the kids texted me like a couple hours after my good cry and was like, I miss you. You're my favorite teacher. Do you think I'll get to see you before I graduate? And I was like, I miss my classroom and I am tired of sitting on my couch.
I feel
words
like
I never thought I'd say.
The majority of teachers are that person she's talking about. Like most teachers I know are grieving not teaching. Yeah. So I don't really know. I don't see where she's coming from, maybe.
Yeah, I'm kind of with her, though. I've been teaching for a while. My plate has been so full and overflowing. And I feel like every time I start to get close to like this light at the end of the tunnel, like, oh, wait, I've got these great accomplishments. I just got to do these few other things. And then something else hits like a virus. But I've also just been going nonstop so hard that this has forced me to stop. And kind of like, okay, what things can I control? What can I do here? What can I do locally around me? I don't know. I wasn't freaked out about not having a job. I knew everything was going to be fine and I would be teaching again. Just might be a little bit of a struggle for a while. But even that's come to pass. I was like, you know what? I kind of like this weight being off of me. I can focus on just a few things. And mm-hmm. And so when I heard all these people freaking out, I was like, I have a grocery store. I've got food. I think food's going to still be available. I don't think the world is ending. I think just this is going to be one of those weird, surreal periods of time. And I've kind of gone through a lot of those. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know what? This is kind of nice. I'm going to embrace it. And then the last 3 days I had to catch up because I've been relaxing and embracing the nothingness for so long.
Oh shit. Now I gotta work.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how this affects people's choices about whether they are going to go back to work or not, because right. Mm-hmm. There are the people that are absolutely like, I need to be back in my classroom. I need to see, you know, I need to be doing this live in person. I need to see my kids. And then there are going to be the people that kind of reevaluate and go, you know what? It was putting so much stress on me and I didn't realize until that stress was gone. I'm curious to see how many people might end up kind of reevaluating based on this, because, you know, when something becomes, we've been hearing a lot in the news about our new normal, you know, establishing our new normal. Once this becomes somebody's new normal, and then they go back to the madness that we all know is classroom teaching, and I say that with love and affection because I'm going to be one of the people that wants to go back. I think a lot of people are going to end up reevaluating.
That's once is a time for lots and lots and lots of self-reflection.
I was talking to my son today, and we were talking about the day school might start back. Because originally, we got out on March 12th or something like that. It was around then. Yeah, I can't remember. It might have been like March 13th. Yeah, it was Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And so we stopped then, and then we had our spring break. And then they didn't, like, everyone else was shutting down. They didn't officially say, okay, until the very end. And they said, we're going to officially be closed to like, April 2nd, April 3rd. And then just like 2 days ago, they said that it was okay. Well, we promise we're really not going to go back till April 17th. And a lot of other districts have pushed till April 23rd. I can't imagine coming back for just 2 weeks in May. Right. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. It's hard enough coming back from spring break, which is now, and like making sense these 2 weeks, or like that weird time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the time between being out of school for 6 weeks or 8 weeks and then starting up, it's almost like coming back from summer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
It would be teaching classroom rules and procedures and routines all over again.
I can't imagine how tired everyone's going to be, because before, during summer, parents still usually had to get up and work, and the kids could sleep in a little bit, but now everyone's kind of getting a taste of commuting from home, and, well, I don't need to log on my computer till 8:30 or 9 o'clock, so I can sleep till 8:20 and just drink my coffee and sit in my underwear, and I can shave during lunch if I need to. And
I'm sorry, you're getting up at 8:20?
Oh, no, I'm much earlier, because my clock, like, my body, it's happiest when it wakes up between about 8:30 and 9. My daughter, on the other hand, her little clock doesn't reset, and so she still wakes up anywhere between 6:30 and 7:30. A couple times it's been 8, but she'll walk in just like, I can't sleep anymore. It's like 6:45. I'm like, yep, I guess we're up now.
I've been so happy to not have children. I woke up at 2 p.m. today. It was great.
But can you imagine everyone resetting to go back to work right now? I mean, now imagine doing it after 3 more weeks. Holy crap. We'll be set by then.
Even if we did go back, you know, basically what is the first week of May, I don't see that time being productive at all. So I just don't imagine that we're going back to school this year, which breaks my heart to say, because I really want to go back. In the summer when, like, you're off but stuff is open and you can go out and go to the museum and, you know, have lunch with your teacher friends for, like, 3 hours instead of 10 seconds. But right now, if nothing's really open, can't go anywhere.
Right, right.
And there's this really stressful sense of foreboding instead of it being, like, I can reset and prepare. It's like, what the fuck's going to happen now? Like, I don't even fucking know.
Summer is a different feel. Summer is the kids are happy to be gone, and the teachers are happy to be done with the kids by that point. And we're planning, you know, fun vacations. Mr. O'Hare works in an education adjacent type of field. We have breaks at the same time. Like, that's when we plan, you know, to go take a trip. And, like, summer is a completely different vibe than whatever this is. This is not the same.
Like, it's not a vacation. It is just, I don't know. I just feel like I'm a ball of stress and anxiety right now.
From the Reddits, user Lexo9, it says, I can tolerate a lot, but I cannot tolerate people musing about whether or not I should receive my salary right now.
Oh. Ah.
So here we go.
Fuck those guys.
I know I should stay off social media, but it's so hard right now. This was an actual discussion I saw on Facebook today. It was about how people should receive refunds on their property taxes because their kids aren't in school right now, and the money should go to their wives who are doing all the teaching, and teachers shouldn't be paid. I'm sorry. With all due respect, I'm glad your wife is keeping the kids engaged at home, but is she actually teaching? She's planned a curriculum for those kids and put together all the material herself. I guess I find that a little hard to believe. I'm grateful to still be receiving my salary, but I deserve it. I am still having to do work, online lessons, corresponding with students, grading, planning. I'm still doing all that. Sorry, I was just so angry even hours later.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, fuckers, we're still working. We're just working from home like most of you. I have to have daily office hours starting tomorrow, where I tell the kids I'm available. I am sitting at my computer waiting for you to ask me questions, to email me or whatever from this time to this time. And I have to do that every day. In addition to calling all of my homeroom kids, which I still haven't finished doing, but luckily I have till Tuesday to do that. Like, by the time this podcast goes up, I will have called all my homeroom students. And we have to call them every week. I'm fucking working, so I don't know what this guy thinks we're doing at home, but I'm still doing my job.
Well, and what about, you know, all of the, we still have to document that we are implementing kids' IEPs and 504s.
Mm-hmm. That didn't even occur to me. I forgot all about that.
We have to document in our lesson plans what we're doing to accommodate students who have IEPs and 504s.
Well, my mom's an elementary school counselor, and when she was telling me that she was having all these meetings about what she's going to be doing, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? like, what can you do from home? And that's it. It's 504s, it's IEPs, it's the TELPOS they still haven't canceled.
There's so much stuff that parents don't know goes on behind the scenes unless they're part of it, like 504s and IEPs. If your kid doesn't have a 504 or an IEP, you don't know what that entails for us as educators to make sure we're meeting a student's needs. And like, these are legal documents. It's not like a suggestion. It's a must do. You must do this thing. You know, that's something that I know districts everywhere are struggling with is, what do we do for our SPED students who are in self-contained classrooms, right? What do we do for the kids who are getting speech therapy through the district? And right now they can't get it because we haven't figured out how to meet their needs, but also do proper social distancing. There's so many unknowns right now. And I think a lot of people just do not appreciate that.
People who say stuff like that don't know what they don't know. That principle about, like, the less you know about something, the more you think you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Is it the Dunning-Kruger
stupidity
effect? Yes, Dunning-Kruger effect. That's the one.
Also stupidity.
It's that. Like, you know, they know a little bit about teaching or something, or, you know, they were in school themselves, presumably, at some point. So they think they know, but they don't know. Okay, the part of the country where the four of us are, this is prime allergy season. There is
problem.
And so every time I sneeze or cough or sniffle or anything, I'm like, oh God, do I have it? Do I have the Rona?
Do I have the Rona?
The knowledge will come. Please don't stress out about being that A-plus number one Pinterest teacher now. If it's all you can do to get showered and feed yourself and post something in a day, that's okay, because right now is a freaking mental health crisis. I tend to be an emotional person anyway. I cannot tell you how many times I have cried over something, like the flowers in my backyard bloomed and I started crying this week. Like, it's a mental health nightmare out there. So teachers, give yourselves some grace if you're not being that Pinterest teacher right now. Just hang in there and take care of your brain.
All right, folks, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Before we go, all of us are teaming up to start a Patreon for Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. So if you're one of those fans who just wants to hear more of us and can't get enough, well, on this Patreon, if you can join up, there's some free Teacher Needs a Drink swag that you can get, like buttons and pins and the Teacher Needs a Drink bottle openers. And also, we're going to have a lot of bonus episodes starting now. If you join, you get to have our five first lost episodes, as well as a couple of episodes that we recorded when all of the shenanigans first started. Also, all of us are going to release our own little tiny monologues and special features that you guys can hear. We can maybe have Bunny O'Hare doing her bunny bites and Sparkle Nation. I don't know. Rosie just like waving her fist to kids in her yard or something. I don't know. I'm making shit up. So if we can get up to 100 people to join the Patreon, Mr. Elvis will take, with the company of all of our other podcasters, the Pottermore House sorting quiz, and we'll record the whole thing of him being interrogated and all of their opinions about his answers, and that will be available on the Patreon if we can get 100 people to sign up. And also, we're talking about doing a book club where we read a book through the course of a month, and then we have an episode of all us discussing it. I wanted something kind of light. Some of the lady podcasters wanted something tawdry and dirty with like a guy with no shirt on the cover. So I might be forced to read one of those. Anyway, that's all available at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast Patreon. And now, thank you again, ladies, for joining us online. Miss Sparkles, I hope you had a great evening.
I sure did, Elvis.
And Miss Bunny O'Hare, it's always a pleasure to hear you, not see you.
Oh,
it's always a pleasure to see you, but it's a pleasure to hear you.
My evening is better for this time together.
And Rosie Rose, it was so wonderful to hear from you, too.
Oh, thank you, Elvis. The pleasure is mine.
All right. Everyone, stay healthy, take care of yourselves, and cheers.
Cheers.
All right. All right. Thank you.
you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday. I'd like to give a special thank you to Miss Bunny O'Hare, Miss Sparkles, and Miss Rosie Rose, and of course to Miss Priscilla, who's always by my side while I'm doing all of this. Please, if you can, check out our new Patreon. That's Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast Patreon, where you can get some swag all about Teacher Needs a Drink, as well as hear some lost episodes and future episodes of the book club. And once we get 100 people, the other host forcing Elvis to take the Pottermore episode. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is sponsored by Ludlam Dramatic and brought to you by our Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast Patreon subscribers. Please follow and leave a 5-star review if you can, and we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
I'd say my dog, sorry.
Lizzie. It's okay if it's bad. It's part of our charm.
That's also what she said.